At LinkHumans, we've spoken to countless HR leaders from around the world, all trying to measure employer brand. The Employer Brand Index is used by GE and Unilever on a quarterly basis to uncover and measure their reputation as an employer, with a final score they can track over time to see how things are changing. We look at what candidates, employees, and alumni say about your organization in an employment context. If you're looking to research your employer reputation, or if you're developing an EVP, this would be the perfect time to create your Employer Brand Index baseline. You'll get a full report of insights and recommendations that you can use to improve your employer brand over time. Head over to employerbrandindex.co and start measuring.
Hey, Sans Maison! It's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by your friends here at LinkHumans, where we do data-driven employer branding. Today, I'm getting all nostalgic because I'm going to talk to an old client of mine when I used to work in the SAP recruiting space. It's a technology consultant company which has been around for 50 plus years, and we're going to learn all about how they manage their employer brand, their PVP. Yeah, you'll find out what that is, as well as their very successful employee advocacy program. Let's start the show. Hey, Anushka, how are you doing?
I'm really well. Thanks ever so much.
Great. So please let our listeners know who you are, what you do, and what brings you on the podcast today.
So I'm Anushka Ramsey. I'm the Group Talent Director for a technology services organization called Capgemini. And what brings me to the podcast? I'm just really keen to share a perspective and hopefully provide some insights into the ever-changing and evolving world of brands within the digital environment at Capgemini.
Great. Okay. So I used to work in the world of SAP recruiting, and Capgemini was one of the big consulting houses in that space, along with IBM, Accenture, etc. So that's how I know Capgemini. But how would you explain it to someone who's never heard of the company? What do you do?
Yeah, it's a really good question, actually, because we are not one of the better known brands in our sector. And there are many reasons for that. But let me start by just sharing a little bit about who Capgemini are. So we were founded about 53 years ago in a garage in Grenoble by our founder, Serge Kampfen. And we really regard ourselves as a 50-year-old startup in the way that in which we're organized, even though we're now a global organization, 220,000 people worldwide across 44 countries. And the key essence of what we do hasn't really changed from the initial days, where the intent was to work out 53 years ago how business had coped with this new found invention of information technology, and how businesses were able to evolve and change and move through the times. And clearly now that's still the same aim. Information technology is probably now referred to more as digital and digital transformation. And our role in Capgemini is to work with businesses to help and support their transformation and to harness the power of technology to make their businesses grow, succeed, and become more profitable.
So you've been around for 53 years. Nowadays, everyone talks about tech companies as if that was something completely new. But in your case, you've been doing this for a while. So what I'm getting at here is the challenge from a talent perspective. If people want to work for tech companies, would they consider a digital consultancy, or do they want to go to the Googles and the Facebooks?
I think it's interesting times. I think digital talent is spread across so many different sectors now, and it's the most in demand of every talent pool that there is. And I think it's a competitive marketplace. Clearly, with heritage also comes some of the traditions and the more perhaps corporate ways of working. And that can be very contrasting to perhaps the perceived more sexier outlooks of a youngest tech startup. But the reality is, you know, with Capgemini, I think the heritage brings a lot of interesting opportunities as well, because, as you say, it's the establishment and the relationships that we have across many different sectors means that digital talent get to work in utilities, in manufacturing, in retail, in public sector and financial services, all of which are undergoing massive change and transformation. So the variety of experiences that you get as a digital talent in a consultancy services is perhaps broader and wider than it might be in a solo sort of tech house that's growing its reputation for delivering a certain offer.
It's a great place to cut your teeth. Yeah, perfect. I know you have a broad job, a big job, I should say, and employer brand is one part of that. But can we zoom in on that? Can you talk about the strategy for employer brand at Capgemini?
I mentioned at the beginning, we're not a particularly well-known brand for many reasons. We are often known better for making our customers successful, but less so for blowing our own trumpet. One of our seven values as an organisation is the value of modesty. And so it's the whole evolution for us around branding, it's been an incredibly interesting experience. And we've become a lot more mature in more recent times, probably I would say in the last 5 to 10 years, and really trying to establish a talent brand in the organisation that's meaningful and that has greater impact. For us as an organisation, even though we operate as a very global level, what we've traditionally had is a talent brand that's been very locally created. Over the last 5 years, what we've done is look at how we can create more of a talent brand at a global level and tell a story and a narrative that really talks about Capgemini at a holistic level, but being able to then also take that and locally identify with the populations we want to try and attract and retain in our local countries.
Okay, so it's gone from local to global and then sort of local adaptations of that.
Yeah, exactly that. And I think that's the key now is trying to work out how we can get to this level of personalization that isn't necessarily just dependent on the different countries of origin of the talent that we're looking for, but it's also speaking a level of personalization that's meaningful to people based on their own, you know, characteristics, whether that be their outlook on life, their age, and the particular demographics, or whether it's their skill base, their interests and the experiences that they're looking to get some work. So we're really going through this transition from local to global, and then global back into local with a more personalised sense of direction.
If we look at the global picture then, is there an EVP in-house? And if so, what does that look like? What are some of the pillars?
Yeah, well, it's really interesting. So that's the key project that we're working on at the moment is to create a global EVP, which we're actually calling a people value proposition, a PVP, rather than an employee value proposition, to try and personalise it a little more. We're in the early discovery phases of trying to work that bit through. So having spent time now over the last 2-3 months interviewing key stakeholders, holding virtual think tanks, we've held talent roadshows, we've been through Glassdoor and our Pulse engagement scores, looking for the key attributes that are really going to help us build out what that people value proposition is at a global level, but also having that ability to create a more local feel to it as well, based on the different personas that we've got in the organisation. So it's exciting times, actually. We've got a lot of local work that's already been done. So now bringing that up to the top, it's really interesting to see how much commonality we've got across the global organisation. And writing that story is starting to come together.
Yeah, I think that does sometimes happen in companies, that there'll be pockets of there will be an EVP in that country or in that region and so on, and then a global one is created. And usually, like you say, they come out fairly similar, which is a validation, I suppose.
I guess so. And I think the key here is making sure that you don't look to create something vanilla just for the sense of commonality. Each area has to have an area of personalization, whether it's to identify with a particular community or a different set of environments within a particular local country. So we're trying to make sure that we hold on to the core of what makes us special. As many people who are listening to this will know and recognise, trying to differentiate yourself in the competitive environment for talent is becoming increasingly difficult. And I think you've really got to go down to the essence of who you are as an organisation. And for us, I think a lot of that is about exploring our heritage, as well as being able to look at the forward mindset that we need to grow the talent that will take us into future success as an organisation.
Watch this space then for the new EVP. And if we look into the activation of employer brand or talent brand, what sort of content can candidates and perhaps current employees consume online, and what does it look like?
In the absence of having this refined sort of people value proposition, what we've done more recently in the last 3 or 4 years is really hold on to this concept of employee advocacy. And we've really linked into the power of the people's voice to identify our talent brand. And really thrown open the channels, the social channels, to allow them to be able to really authentically talk to what it feels like to be part of the Cat Gemini family. So there are various different campaigns that we've launched globally and really not put too many constraints, in fact, not really any at all, around what people post, what people are interested in, to bring to life what life at Cat Gemini feels like. So for those that are interested, you can have a look at that online, hashtag life at Cat Gemini. And through that, we've been able to really get some interesting sound bites and insights, which feed our PVP work for sure, but also allow us to create a very balanced outlook for our people in terms of not only attracting new people to the organization, but I think more importantly, and it wasn't where we started off with this actually 5 years ago, it is really then getting a sense of engagement and identity with our internal talent as well. And I think that balance of employee advocacy really, really brings a sense of pride across the organisation, which perhaps we'd underestimated when we first set out on our adventures to bring it to life.
So it sounds like you have an oven-ready army there waiting for the new PVP to tell the world. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. And I think one of the things around the PVP project is it should be words that we see coming from them anyway. So we really want to use and create statements and intent and pillars that really resonate in the words that our people would use, so that it feels right and it fits with the organisation.
And in terms of social platforms, now I would guess that LinkedIn is the main place for your people to interact.
It's a mix, really. I would say that we get the most reach through Instagram. Twitter is incredibly popular for us, and LinkedIn for different reasons. So I think we just see slightly different content coming through and a different audience, I think, for each of them. I mean, mainstay around sort of professional services and interactions and people's professional outlook and sharing of their business knowledge and expertise on LinkedIn. Perhaps the more fun or more casual side of the organization coming through Instagram. And then Twitter has been really powerful for us in terms of really keeping the organization insights up to date on those small sound bites. So I would say it's a pretty even split across each of those different channels, and that's becoming increasingly important for us to identify where those messages are landing with the multi-generational workforce that we have right now.
Have you figured out how to measure the success of all the talent branding, employer branding, perhaps even all this employee advocacy work that you've been doing? What are some of the metrics you look at?
It's one of those eternal questions that I think we all have. We wish to have the golden egg for, but there are definitely some areas that we look to track. So certainly, we look at some of the recognition that we can get externally, whether that be through awards or Universum. We look at the metrics around reach from a social media perspective and engagement. Also monitoring the obvious areas like Glassdoor. We clearly look at our internal engagement activities. Yeah. And we're really looking for balance and a real parity between Glassdoor and our internal engagement themes. And doing a lot more analytics work to digest some of the comments and the feedback and the narrative that we're seeing across Glassdoor and engagement platform there. And then, even just the sheer volume of people that we've got who are prepared to be social champions for us. And it's not something that clearly we market it, but it's not something we insist upon. But you can tell there's a real appetite and fondness and interest for people to build their personal brands at an individual level. So we run a series of training sessions to help people master the art of personal brand as well, so that they can strengthen their own career perspectives, as well as being able to be champions of the brand and champions of the Cat Gemini environment.
Yeah, I love that. That's a real win-win situation right there. And what tips have you got for our listeners who like to do something similar in their organizations?
I think for me, three top tips really. Number one, be curious. You have to remain in touch with your ultimate customers. And I think within the world of talent branding, it's not just the obvious people to think about. It's not just the talent who might fit the exact job specification that you're looking for. So you have to think broadly. You have to think about how your internal talents are responding and ask the questions. Get people engaged. If you can, to run sort of persona journey workshops is a fantastic way to really understand the customer experience and what's in their mind. So number one, be curious. And with that curiosity, I think, you know, it's very easy, I think, in today's world to get swallowed up in the whole concept around stereotypes. I have a personal bugbear, although I recognise that millennials is an age range. I've seen so many different experiences and viewpoints and perspectives from people that are categorised in the bucket of millennials who have very similar ambition and expectation to people who wouldn't be in that environment. So I think it being curious also allows you to banish some of the stereotypes. It helps you to diversify your thinking and not just get led by a very box-driven or prescriptive way of thinking people will respond. Second top tip would be to remain focused on the human side. So humanizing your insights, ensuring that everything that you're doing remains personal. If you want to show your organization off beyond sort of the corporate shiny layers that can often be perceived, and there is nothing better than putting the human touch into the way that you talk about your brand. And it will come across in a much more authentic and genuine and engaging way, and people will respond to that. And the third is, you know, I think for anybody working in the talent field and within talent branding, full stop, this readiness to learn. You have to be aware now of all the changes that are happening in our environment, ready to embrace new technologies, new methodologies, and really having that growth mindset, I think, is absolutely key, and fostering that, not necessarily just with yourself, but across the organisation, that you're constantly looking at how you can reinvent and look and explore new ways of working, even if they might fail, which is perfectly fine. But, you know, you've got to be prepared to be in the game and be in it to expand your knowledge.
Anushka, how long have you been in working in the talent space now?
I'm a psychologist in background. I've been working in the field of talent since I left university, so over 20 years now. And, you know, more recently in the field of talent management and talent attraction for the last 12 years. In my current role, it's a lot broader than just talent attraction and talent branding. And there's such a lovely synergy with the whole field of the overall talent strategy, which is part of what I'm delivering across Capgemini. I've seen a lot of evolutions in this space, I have to say, over the course of particularly the last decade. Most notably, people have now realised that, us included, that, you know, just transactional recruitment and being able to find a perfect peg for the perfect box in the talent world is not a possibility, and you have to be creative. You have to seek to look at problems in different lights. You've got to look at talent pools that you've not necessarily considered before and think about those transferable skills and how you can build the capability that your organization needs. So talent branding really has to think in a very lateral way to reflect that new approach, I think, to talent management for the future.
I was going to ask, but what is it that makes this space so special for you? What is it that gets you up in the morning?
A very strong purpose at a personal level. For me, my job, thankfully, is something that I love, and it's about being able to help people thrive. So being in an environment where my primary job every day is to set in place mechanisms, principles, approaches, strategies to enable that is an absolute joy. So I completely love working in the field of talent. It has that uplifting factor across the whole HR agenda, and I think it can be incredibly infectious when you hear the success stories, when you see what you've been conceptualizing around talent and talent strategy come to life and really bear fruit for both the organization, but for me, more importantly, I just love the fact that you can really help people fulfill their own ambitions, whether that be inside of work or outside of work, but you give them an opportunity and a platform for their own success. And for me, that really helps me get out of bed every day.
Fantastic. All right. So my final question is, how can our listeners connect with yourself? And also, have you got a call to action for them? Should they check out Capgemini Careers?
That'd be fantastic to keep in touch. Or if you want to link in with me, please do so. I'm on LinkedIn at Anushka Ramsey. You can follow me on Twitter, Twitter pages as well. But if you want to find out more about Cat Gemini and our ways of working, what we're all about, go to catgemini.com. We have social channels as well, as we talked about, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. So lots to find out there. But if you really want to get to the heart of our employee advocacy campaigns, then hashtag life at Cat Gemini and hashtag love your career are really fantastic ways to, you know, see people's career ambitions come to life and find out really what it feels like to work in the digital consulting environment and the type of exciting projects and experiences people get to have within Cat Gemini globally.
Love it. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks very much. Great to speak with you. Really enjoyed it.
Okay, folks, there you have it. Feel free to reach out to Anushka and say thank you ever so much for sharing your wisdom there. And if you'd like to subscribe to this podcast, you can do so at employerbrandingpodcast.com, as well as on Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, all the usual places. And if you are interested in getting some measurement of the ROI of your employer branding activities, why not check out the Employer Brand Index, which is our methodology, our tool for measuring a company's reputation as an employer. Check it out at employerbranding.co. That is it for this week. Thank you ever so much and look forward to catching up next time.
The interviewer had asked the candidate, so tell me a little bit more about yourself. How do you perform under pressure? And the candidate said, well, not too badly, but I do much better, Bohemian Rhapsody.